makes the dark, it clears the way. Guiding souls both night and day. It breaks the dark, it clears the way. Guiding souls both night and day. Light of knowledge, light of knowledge.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
الحمد لله. Once again, dear viewers of Madani Channel, our transmission titled The Light of Knowledge is present with you today, inshallah azza wa jalla. Alhamdulillah, various topics, various speakers as well, alhamdulillah azza wa jalla. And inshallah azza wa jalla, today we will discuss a very relevant and I would say essential topic for all Muslims. This is the topic of one great personality who, it has not been very long since his passing, but he left such a legacy which has now become the hallmark of the true form of Islam, the blueprint of Islam, the true path of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the noble companions. This is that path which Imam Ahl Sunnat, Imam Ishq Muhabbat, Ash-Shah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman has laid before us. So today's topic is, who is Ala Hazrat? And we're going to learn about this great personality today. We're going to hear his beautiful poetry in the relevant time, inshallah azza wa jal. We will have the honor of listening to an Arabic qasida that was written by the great Imam, inshallah azza wa jalla, in the next few moments, inshallah azza wa jal. So stay tuned, my dear viewers of Madani Channel. This is a very brilliant opportunity for all of us that we can take some time out within the evening to learn our deen from the comfort of our home. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless this beautiful environment of Da'wat Islami, allow the works of the deen to continue and flourish and to also proceed further and further. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you who are watching and grant us all the ability to learn from each of these programs and also act upon what we learn as well. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A virtue of Durood-e Paak, the embodiment of Noor, the King of Medina, the last and final Prophet of Allah, Muhammad-e Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has said, whoever sends salat upon me once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers 10 mercies upon him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers, Durood-e Paak is that cleansing for our soul. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to occupy our time and rather make time. It is very important when something crucial happens within our life, we take out the time. And similarly, on a daily basis, we should allocate some time where we are reciting Durood-e Paak, we are sending our peace and blessings in the court of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in our love for sending peace and blessings upon our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So my dear viewers, this topic, who is Ala Hazrat? I would like to commence with such a introduction which the Imam himself pens in his very beautiful qasida. This qasida is known as Qasida Hamdiya. The Imam in the Sunnah, he pens this in Arabic and he mentions different beautiful points. I will mention a brief summary now of this Qasida Hamdiya and then inshallah we will listen to the Arabic as well. So Imam Ahl Sunnah, as many of us and many of the ulama have done in the past, we do as well when we talk, we always begin with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, Imam Ahl Sunnah begins his Qasida Hamdiya with this praise. The reason for mentioning this poem is that this is a Qasida, this is an ode that was written by the great Imam in the Arabic language. And it is such a beautiful kalam that it is even recited today. Now, Imam Ahl Sunnah begins by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thereafter sending peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his honorable companions and blessed family as well. Thereafter, Imam Ahl Sunnah speaks, he calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he presents the wasila, the mediation of the final Prophet of Allah, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And he mentions the beautiful qualities that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been honored with, that he came with the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the kalam of Allah, the Quran was revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the one who is hadi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the guide. He is also the mahdi. He is the one who guides other people. Thereafter, Imam al-Sunnah takes blessings in this qasida from the city of Madinatul Munawwara, from the blessed member of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from the blessed masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif. Thereafter, Imam al-Sunnah explains that life is difficult. Oh Allah, we are being tested by many different enemies in different forms, whether it could be people in our close circle or those people who are attacking the religion. And because we are defending the religion, they are attacking us as well. So Imam al-Sunnah goes on to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for security, for help and protection against wrongdoers. And then he says, I don't have any fear. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my protector. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my helper and my supporter in the task that I am doing. Because I am carrying out the works of the religion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will most definitely help me. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Holy Quran, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ. If you help the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah Almighty will support you and help you. This is why this is a message for all of us, that whenever we are taking up the task to preach the deen, we are studying the deen ourselves, times it might get difficult. And this is without a shadow of a doubt. I have experienced this, many other students of knowledge, and most definitely the ulama of the deen of the past, they went through so much difficulties just to become where they are today, just to become those great personalities. And not only were they faced with personal tests, it could be with their health, but also with their family, with the people and society around them. This is why, my dear viewers, those students of knowledge, and all of us should become students of knowledge, i.e. we should try to learn our fard, our obligations of the deen, our fara'id. And thereafter, whichever knowledge of the deen, you can say, fits our lifestyle. For example, if we are doing business, then we must learn the rulings regarding business. So then we must categorize within our mind that this is a knowledge that I must seek. Sometimes there are knowledge, there are ulum, there are sciences that you don't have to seek, they're not necessary for you. But when you are, for example, about to get married, or if you are going into the business field, etc., etc., different aspects, then you must seek knowledge for that particular area that you wish to delve into. For example, people today love to talk about social media and to utilize the, you can say, the digital systems and earn a living and livelihood. We must learn the rulings regarding this before we take on this huge task of trying to earn livelihood using these new, you can say, avenues. So my dear viewers, Imam al-Sunnah, then he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove the evil that people are trying to afflict upon him. And he asks again through the wasila of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba and his noble family. So let us inshallah listen to the Qasida Hamdiya of the great Imam.
Alhamdulil Mutawahidi bi jalalihil mutafarridi wa salatuhu dawman ala khayril anami Muhammadi wal ali wal ashabihum ma'waya 'inda shada'idi فإلى العظيم توسلي بكتابه وبأحمد وبمن أتى بكلامه وبمن هدى وبمن هدي وبطيبة وبمن حوت وبمنبر وبمسجد وبكل من وجد الرضا من عند رب واجد لا هم قد هجم العدا من كل شأو أبعد في خيلهم ورجالهم مع كل عاد معتد هاوين زلة مثبت باغين ذلة مهتد لكن عبدك آمن.
He says, however, your servant, he is protected, he is at ease.
لَكِنَّ عَبْدَكَ آمِنٌ إِذْ مَنْ دَعَاكَ يُؤَيِّدِ لَا أَخْتَشِي مِنْ بَأْسِهِمْ يَدُ نَاصِرِي أَقْوَى يَدِي لهم فادفع شرهم وقني مكيدة كائدين وأدم صلاتك والسلام على الحبيب الأجود والآل أمطار الندى والصحب سحب عوائد ما غردت ورق على بان كخير مغرد واجعل بها أحمد رضا عبدا بحرز السيد.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. This was the Qasida Hamdiya of the great Imam, and again it further increases our love for this great personality. How he was an expert in different languages, the language of Arabic, the language of Urdu, of Hindi, of Farsi, and thereafter numerous uloom he mastered as well. And I would like to further strengthen this discussion by mentioning the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, which is reported in Sunan Abi Dawood, where our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَبْعَثُ لِهَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِ كُلِّ مِئَةِ سَنَةٍ مَنْ يُجَدِّدُ لَهَا دِينَهَا. Very beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to the strong assumption, strong opinion, the narrator of this hadith is Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And he mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed Allah Almighty will continue to send to this ummah at the head of every 100 years someone or people who will revive its religion. Now there's so many beautiful points mentioned in the commentary to this beautiful hadith. And the reason why, again, I'm highlighting this beautiful hadith, because the personality who we are talking about today is the Mujaddid of the 14th century. He is none other than Sayyidina Imam Ahmad Riza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman. So my dear viewers, what we also learn from this beautiful narration is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the knowledge of the unseen, that he knows that the religion will become weak in later times and Allah Almighty will send his pious people, his mujaddidun, those people who will revive the deen of Allah. The deen of Allah, one can give an example, like it is a mirror that over time, due to evil people and trying to tamper with the blueprint and the true image of Islam, the Mujaddid comes and he cleans that mirror, i.e. the religion, and he shows to people, this is the true message of Islam. This is the work and the task of the Mujaddid. And Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, there have been many scholars of the past who have been honored with this great title. So inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, we will discuss more on this beautiful topic of who is Ala Hazrat. We have our honorable guest with us today as well. We would like to request our Mawlana Waseem Attari Sahib to give some beautiful Madani pearls in regards to this great personality and try to educate us and the viewers regarding who is Ala Hazrat Imam Ahle Sunnah.
MashaAllah, a beautiful topic today regarding Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi. And this is that great personality that over 100 years have passed, but you can say that throughout the world, MashaAllah, we can see his blessings.
SubhanAllah.
If you were just to look at one example out of the many, many examples,
yes,
is that many masajids, hundreds of masajids here in the UK, across Europe, across the subcontinent, and throughout the world, on a Friday after Jummah, they are reading his salatu salam. Meaning that, when I say reading his salatu salam, I mean reading that kalam, that salam that has been written by him, yes, which is Mustafa Jani Rahmat. And this is, you can say, that is something that is read after every gathering, after every ishtama, to make that ishtama come to an end. So this is the blessings of this blessed individual who literally is benefiting people today. And if you look at Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, Bilal bhai, you know, there are many, you know, if you look at, for example, a doctor specializes in a particular subfield. For example, you got kidneys, you got the heart. You won't see someone who specializes in the heart who's working in the liver department. You know, maybe for emergencies or stuff like that, but his specialty is, for example, the heart. It's the same for the liver. But if you look at Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, so in other words, the point I'm getting across is we specialize in one particular field.
Yeah.
If you look at the hospital, or even if you look at engineering, you got various sectors that you can specialize in. But if you look at Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, several years ago, it was mentioned that he was a specialist in 55 different departments. Mm-hmm. But now, if you look at the situation, it's 100 plus. And even now, there's no clear conclusion. It's people are still researching and people are still doing PhDs on his life. And this is something that is continuing as well, that when we mention 100, It doesn't mean that it's ended there. This is something that is continuing as well, that the, you know, the investigation into the...
Another thing with Simba is that we tend to overlook this point. We say 100, but we don't actually, as listeners, we tend to forget the fact that he was an expert in those fields.
Expert, yes.
It's not that he just studied, like today, a person can study many different subjects. Yeah, I studied this science, I studied that science for a few years. He was an actual expert in those fields.
That's right. Even if you look at maths, it's mentioned that there was one professor who was teaching for many, many years in the university. And it's mentioned that he says that one day I got completely stuck. It was a particular scenario and I was stuck. Despite me, you know, teaching for many, many years, you know, making people stand on their own feet. But now I was stuck in my field, in other words. So he goes that I packed my bags and I was heading to Germany to meet. It wasn't like today where, you know, we can virtually communicate with someone in another country. They had to do travel.
Yeah.
So he mentions that I had to go to Germany. As I was setting off, someone said to me that, look, you're going to go all the way to Germany. It's going to take you days and days to get there.
Yeah.
Why do you go to Bareilly? He goes, who's there? What's there? He goes that there's one Maulana there and he'd be able to support you.
Allah.
And you know, someone might be thinking that a Maulana, like literally not me, I've been teaching in a university. I'm an expert in this field for many years. And this is someone who is a Maulana, mashallah.
Yeah.
Respect to him. But end of the day, this is not my field. He goes, just go once. He's an expert in many fields. He'll be able to advise you. So he goes, I went there. And he goes, as soon as I asked this question, despite this is a professor who's been teaching for many, many years, he goes, as soon as I asked the question, the response was literally straight away. It was immediate. And he goes that literally that question that I've been, you know, contemplating upon, trying to find the answers to for a long period of time, to such an extent that I was now planning to go to Germany to get the answer.
Yeah.
He goes, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Reza Khan alayhi rahmah, he solved that scenario for me within a few moments. So this was his situation. And this professor says that, where did you get this knowledge from? He goes, I never went to no university. I didn't go to a school or college like this. He goes that my father, he told me that leave these studies. These studies you will be taught from the court of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You focus upon the Islamic rulings. And alhamdulillah, this is that great personality that 100 years have passed. But still, alhamdulillah, you could say the ummah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is benefiting from him, is benefiting from his works. And not only benefiting from his works from a knowledge point of view, but you can say that across the world, tears are flowing in the love of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam due to this great personality. Where we're talking about knowledge now, he was someone that you can say that he wrote poetry in the praise of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi was that great personality. His love for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was great. And you know, there are so many kalams, there are so many verses that reflect this as well. When he would see the flowers, he would remember the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So in other words, whatever he was looking at, whatever, in other words, he was so in love with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that everything that he would interact with or see, etc., would remind him of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And there are many, many examples like flowers, roses. In other words, he's wrote some beautiful ashar. Even today, alhamdulillah, the ummah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is continuing to benefit. So this is, mashallah, Ala Hazrat, very briefly, this is that great personality that, alhamdulillah, we are benefiting from. His knowledge, we are benefiting from. Kanzul Iman, for example, is something that is promoted through Madani Channel. This is another example as it is. It's mentioned that he was so busy as an individual that he would have very minimum time to actually rest.
Allah.
So it's mentioned that one someone came to him and someone said to him, look, you've given so many books as gifts to the Ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. There are many translations of the Quran and at times many of them are incorrect. So we want you to write a translation of the Holy Quran. And Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, he said, look how busy I am. But despite this situation resting of so less, it's mentioned that out of his rest time, he took time out to write this Kanzul Iman.
Allah.
And alhamdulillah today, mashallah, throughout the world, this translation is read and is recently being, several years ago, been also translated in the English language as well. So this is Ala Hazrat, his great memory, to such an extent, you know, his memory was amazing,
Allah,
absolutely
Allah.
Amazing. To such an extent that it's mentioned that, you know, today we read a book. You know, at times you have to remember where about was it in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But Ala Hazrat was that great personality that it's mentioned that one day, a time came in his life, he became ill. Now he couldn't do any more writing. So it's mentioned that he told one of his students, I'm going to say, and you write it down. So at times, you know, you have to go to references, find out, you know, to get references from other books and everything. Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi's memory was so amazing that obviously he couldn't get up. He was ill at that particular time. He would say to his student, go to the library. The book is on this shelf. Go and get that book. Open it up. On this page and on this line, you will find the answer. Allah, okay. Meaning that, you know, for example, just remembering the book, this is a big thing as it is. But knowing which page and knowing which line, you know, in other words, that is something next level. You know, photographic memory, which is absolutely, for example, today, you know, sometimes you put something down, you've got a pile of letters, which letters you have to look through it, which book is it you have to go through it, which assignment is it you have to go through it. But Allah Azza wa Rahmatullah Alayhi was that great personality that Allah blessed him with such amazing memory that he would remember the book, the page, as well as the line. So his memory that Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed him with, this is amazing. But one message that I would like to give here before we continue our discussion is, you know, sometimes in it, we've got a pile of books, or mashallah, it's promoted through Madani Channel, through social media. We've got a pile of books. You know, we just look at, mashallah, this book. But at times we do not understand or don't realize how much effort's gone into that book. For example, you know that book that I was telling you about, the Glorious Kanzul Iman. For example, what did he say? Allah Azza wa Rahmatullah said that to write this book, I have to take time out of my rest time. This is the sacrifices these people give. So, you know, sometimes in it, we just look at the book and we think to ourselves, mashallah, it looks nice. The cover's nice. But we don't understand that the hundreds of pages, we don't understand. Like, at times we just, you know, flick through it as well. We don't understand the amount of effort as well as the amount of sacrifice that has gone into writing that book. So this is something that we should value as well. Alhamdulillah, we have these books with us. Ala Hazrat Amirul Sunnat. We have various, mashallah, books that are authentic that we can turn to. So my humble request to you is that take time out to read these authentic books, because we do not know the amount of sacrifice that has gone in. For example, just talking about Amirul Sunnat now here, the founder of Dawat Islam, Imam Ilyas Qadri Sahib. You know the book Rafiqul Haramain. This is the guide for Hajj and Umrah. So whenever someone goes to Hajj and Umrah, our guidance, our recommendation is that we should try to read this book, because it gives you a comprehensive guide of how to perform your Hajj as well as your Umrah as well. So again, you know that point, and you know the book, it is literally that it's really small, but it's a lot of pages, obviously. But you know, we think to ourselves, mashallah, look, it's a small book, for example, it's got the guide. But the amount of sacrifices the authors have to go through to write a book for the Ummah of the Prophet. This is a sacrifice in itself. So this is something, one message that I wanted to give at the end of this particular session.
MashaAllah, subhanAllah, beautiful points there that you highlighted regarding Imam al-Sunnat, Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatu rahman. The ulama mentioned in his blessed biography that Ala Hazrat didn't even write Kanzul Iman. That was his rest time. He had his students who were sitting before him, or I believe one student, and he would recite the verse. The student would recite the verse, and Ala Hazrat Imam al-Sunnat would give the translation. But thereafter, that's not how simple it is. The student just thought, let me go and check with the other tafaseer, commentaries of the Quran, and find that, is Ala Hazrat's translation matching with them? Not only was his translation matching with the tafsir and the commentary as well, but with the most authentic opinion from all of the commentaries. This is the depth, and you can say Ala Hazrat, he had an encyclopedic knowledge. He had so much ulum, so much ilm in his heart and mind. Even the discussion regarding his profound memory, so many points are coming to mind. There was one incident I read in his blessed life where at times profound memory. So many points are coming to mind. There was one incident I read in his blessed life where at times, I think in one day, Imam al-Sunnat, each day, he would have 400 to 500 questions that would come to him daily from the public, from around the world, letters that would come to him, so questions and queries about different matters of the deen. And one time, he had three or four students sitting with him, and Imam al-Sunnah delegated the task of distributing the letters amongst the students. And how did he complete this huge task in such a profound manner, using smart work, using hard work as well? Imam al-Sunnah, the first student, he began to mention the question. As soon as he finished the question, Ala Hazrat Imam al-Sunnah began to dictate the answer. He told him the answer. That student then wrote down the answer. He didn't just write down the answer. Imam al-Sunnah was telling him what to write down. He told him. He wrote it down, and
Imam Ahl Sunnah gave time to the student because he is writing. Let him write it down. The second student began to ask the second question from the second letter. And now that second question could be on a different topic. Imam Ahl Sunnah gives a reply to that. And whilst the second student is writing on the answer, the third student is asking the third question. Thereafter, Imam Ahl Sunnah replies to him, gives him time to write it down, then goes to the fourth student. And the fourth student asks his question. Imam Ahl Sunnah not only understands the question and he knows the answer, he provides the answer, giving him time to write it. He goes back to the first student, exactly where he left off from his answer. He continued there. And that's when, in this manner, he mentioned a bit of the answer, the student wrote it down. Whilst he's writing it down, he went on to the next person. This was the profound memory, the intelligence Allah Pak granted Imam Ahl Sunnah, Shah Imam Muhammad Raza Khan alayhi rahmah. This is how, you know, this is not easy at all. And when you give an answer of the deen, those who study the deen, they know how scary and fearful it is that a person asks you a question of the deen and how you have to be careful in giving the answer. Because if you give a wrong answer and if he goes on to act upon it, you're going to be sinful. And this is a sin as well that you give an answer when you don't have the ilm. And remember this, my dear viewers, it is not shameful whatsoever to say, I do not know. This is half of knowledge when you say, I do not know. This is the good, this is the beauty of Islam. If you do not know, you can go and find out. There's no need to try and conjure up an answer from your own heart and mind. So this is a very beautiful point that we learn from the life of Imam Ahl Sunnah as well. How he was organized with his time. He didn't let a single moment go to waste. He was so productive, and he also gave that mindset to his fellow students as well. Furthermore, if you talk about his blessed memory and his knowledge, the discussion of him becoming a Hafiz al-Quran cannot go amiss. Everybody has heard this so many times. It's a beautiful incident where Imam Ahl Sunnah, from when people would send him different letters, Madhivi is a Madhini channel, they would tend to write titles before the name. So maybe Hafiz, Qari, Mufti, etc. But at that time, when Imam Ahl Sunnah was given those letters, he hadn't officially memorized the Quran. He didn't sit down to memorize the Quran officially. So he thought in his mind that the people, the Muslim Ummah, have a good assumption of me that I'm a Hafiz, but I have not done Hifz of the Quran. So I will make the intention to perform the Hifz of the Quran so that at least people's word about me doesn't become a lie. So I save them. And this is also a good intention as well. No doubt his intention, the first and foremost, is for the pleasure of Allah Almighty. These are the awliya. We don't tell them about ulum of intention. They tell us. They teach us. Imam al-Sunnah compiled 40 intentions of going to the masjid. This is that personality. So Imam Ahl Sunnah, in that Ramadan, I remember hearing this discussion and reading this as well, that after Salatul Maghrib, Imam Ahl Sunnah Shah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahma, would listen to the Hafiz al-Quran, the Qari Sahib, and he would be reciting. Imam Ahl Sunnah would look carefully at one juz, one spara of the Quran, and he would carefully read it as though he is memorizing it as well. He had recited it, preserved it into memory, and that way, every single day of Ramadan, he memorized one entire juz of the Quran. And by the end of that Ramadan, at the end of 30 days, Imam Ahl Sunnah had memorized the entire Quran. This is his profound memory, and this has been written in his books of seerah that the ulama have all agreed upon. This was his profound memory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him in. He is Ala Hazrat that we talk about. Ala Hazrat literally means the Grand Master. In terms of his knowledge, in terms of his taqwa, his piety, in terms of his love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is one thing. Imam Ahl Sunnah, when people hear Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahma, the first thing that would come into their mind, amongst many things, is his love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like Wasim Bhai beautifully highlighted, Imam Ahl Sunnah compiled an entire booklet, book of poetry known as entitled Hadaik-e-Bakhshish. And we try within our program to mention a few points regarding just one of those poems that he has written and just a few stanzas, not even the whole poem, because it's difficult to go into detail. This is how profound he was. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnah Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan. So we've spoken briefly, very briefly. We cannot do justice to this great personality, his memory. At a young age as well, he grew up in a household of Islamic scholars. His grandfather was a pious, practicing and renowned Alim Adin and Mufti of the religion. His father, Maulana Mufti Naqi Ali Khan alayhi rahma, was also a prestigious Alim, Islamic scholar and Grand Mufti of his time as well, of Hind, of India. And again, When Ala Hazrat, if you just want to know a brief bit about him, because there's so much. When he reached the age of 13 years, approximately 13 and a half, some say 14 and a half years old, meaning 13 years old, 14 years old, Imam Ahl Sunnat had become a fully fledged mufti of the religion, meaning somebody who has been given the authority to answer the questions of the public. And this is not something little. He's at the age of 13 or 14 years. This is Imam Ahl Sunnat, Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan. He is not only an alim of the religion, a mufti of the religion, he is a lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is one who followed the madhab of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa alayhi rahma. And his works were so profound that the scholars of Makkatul Mukarramah and Madinatul Munawwara granted him the stamp of approval that he is the Mujaddid of the 14th century. This is that personality. And like we just highlighted at the beginning, Mujaddid is a huge title. It's not given by the public. It's given by the luminaries of the time, the Islamic learned scholars of the time. For example, Ad-Dawlatul Makkiyya Bil-Madatil Ghaybiyya. Imam Ahl Sunnat wrote this kitab, this booklet, an answer to a question where people objected to the knowledge of the unseen of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Ahl Sunnat, in just a few hours, wrote an entire, you can say an encyclopedia on this discussion, on this matter, where he counted numerous hundreds of ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all from memory. Again, because he was in Makkatul Mukarramah at that time. He was not in his blessed home in India, in Bareilly Sharif. He was in Makkatul Mukarramah, and from his profound and God-given blessed memory, he had written this answer. The book was written in Arabic, in fluent and in also eloquent Arabic language. And they were left baffled that who is this great personality? Imam Ahl Sunnat was not just known by the scholars of Pakistan and India, but rather all across the globe. You know, Africa, questions would come, even from Makkatul Mukarramah and Madinatul Munawwara and the sacred lands as well. The ulama would ask questions and ask Imam Ahl Sunnat to write on this particular topic, on this particular topic. So this was his expertise. And remember, he was also a muhaddith as well. Imam Ahl Sunnat was an expert in the field of hadith, so profound in his memory and understanding of those fine details when it comes to the science of hadith. So what do we learn from his life though? Because it's all well and good to listen to his beautiful praise, and this is what we are proud of. We are happy for this. But what we can learn is these were people who dedicated their lives to the deen. And their remembrance is their dhikr. People speak about them in such lands where they themselves never walked. They never traveled to those lands. But today their name, their works, their books are being sold and are in countries where they had never even imagined. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessing the ulama of the deen, those true scholars, ulama-i rabbaniyun, those God-fearing scholars, practicing ulama of the deen, who spent their life and dedicated their time to protecting the honor of Islam. Like I told you in the beginning, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, the Mujaddid, his task is to remove all types of deviancies that have come in that time and in the past, which have affected the true image of Islam. And Imam Ahl Sunnat, remember, he was just one personality. One great man of Allah did so much work. Today, we have it very easy. We have so much calm, we have so much work and literature available. But like Waseem Bhai mentioned beautifully, and it's quite sad as well, we don't have people to read today. We were in one time, even within Da'at Islami, people, especially in the UK, America, etc., English-speaking countries, they were asking that there's no translation of the Qur'an readily available. We need a translation of the Qur'an. The ulama are leaving this world and we need an English translation of the Qur'an. We have it in Urdu, but the new generation cannot understand Urdu. And look at how Da'at Islami took on this task by the faizan of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat, that now they not only have Kanzul Iman readily available, the entire Qur'an translated. They even have a short commentary of the Qur'an known as the Clear Criterion, which is Kanzul Irfan, which is Mufti Da'at Islami, Mufti Qasim Sahib, Da'wat Barakatum Al-Aliya, the Grand Mufti Da'at Islami, who translated the Kanzul Iman Urdu into a simpler Urdu known as Kanzul Irfan. And this work was translated into English by our honorable scholars. And thereafter, we now have a slightly more deeper, not only translation, but commentary of the Quran known as Tafsir Miftahul Ihsan, which was written by the honorable and the late Hazrat Allama Maulana Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi Sahib, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. He left behind such a huge legacy when now the commentary of the Quran in English language from, again, the Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah has been now given to the public. But the public are probably unaware. The public don't know. Or if they do know, nobody's given a chance to read it. So this is where we lack, my dear viewers. It's well and good that we listen to these great personalities. But do you know what they did? Which we don't do, unfortunately. We talk and talk and talk. They did action. They were action, action, action. They proved everything via their life. They didn't leave it just to words, just to speeches, just to listening. But they took a practical step. And this is what Dawat Islami wants from us as well. That when we hear we have Islamic literature readily available every week, a weekly booklet is being released by Dawat Islami. We have the weekly bayanat, alhamdulillah, in various languages as well, not only in English and Urdu, various languages for those and to accommodate different nations as well. Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami is doing so much work. We need to take advantage of this and not be like those people who just one person is doing the task, we can sit back and relax. Everybody needs to, inshallah, take this on board and learn from the life of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnah. That the deen will come when and it will remain when you begin to sacrifice yourself, your time, your energy to giving the message of Islam to the public by studying the deen yourself. And inshallah, we're going to speak on this topic a bit more, but I would like our Maulana Waseem Atari to give a few final Madani pearls from his end, inshallah. Thereafter, my dear viewers, stay tuned because we're going to speak about a beautiful kalam of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnah, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, and then we will bring our beautiful program to a close.
Another aspect of the life of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad al-Zahan alayhi rahmah is that his love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but everything related to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also had love for. So for example, the Sahaba kiram, his Ahlul Bayt. And when it comes to the Ahlul Bayt, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi's love for the family of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And there are many, many examples of this which are you can find in the life of Ala Hazrat. We all know about the incident regarding, you know, when he came out from the box and he goes, I smell someone, one of you that is actually holding me up is from the family of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I won't allow this. So his love, this is something that we need to adopt as well. If you look at many statements, many blessed sayings of the Prophet ﷺ, he goes regarding the love for my family. But today, yes, you know, we might show love for his immediate family, but alhamdulillah, we also have his family present today as well. We have sayyids that are from the blessed lineage. It's our role to show them love. For example, one great example, if you want to show see love for the family of the Prophet ﷺ, is what's happening now. Amir al-Sunnat, just a couple of days ago, he announced, this year will be 1500 years since the birth of the Prophet ﷺ. Now, he mentioned that my request to all those businessmen out there is that if you know any sayyids that come to your shop, etc., to buy, give them a 50% discount. Why? Because he's love for the family of the Prophet ﷺ. That they are from the family, give them a discount of 50%, 25%, whatever is possible for you. But give them a discount. So, alhamdulillah, we have these great people who are amongst us as well from the blessed family of the Prophet ﷺ, his blessed lineage. We should be showing them love, inshallah, like Ala Hazrat. Like literally, there are many, many examples like this child one that are throughout his life that he showed love for the family of the Prophet ﷺ. So inshallah, if you do meet a Sayyid who is from the blessed lineage, show him respect. If you look at Amir al-Sunnah, you know, at times he meets a person and that person, he finds that it's a Sayyid, he will kiss his hands. You know, normally what happens is that you kiss your Murshid's hands. Amir al-Sunnah, he will kiss the hands of his murid because he knows that it's a Sayyid. And there are many examples like this as well. So this is something that we should be doing, inshallah. And even talking about Murshid, one final thing that I would like to mention is that, you know, what happens is when you give bayah to someone, Khalifa, making that person your Khalifa, it takes several years, many, many years for a person, a Murshid, to accept that this is my Khalifa. It's mentioned the first very meeting between the Murshid and the Murid, meaning Ala Hazrat Murshid and himself, he gave Khilafat. And it's mentioned that his Murshid says that on the Day of Judgment, if Allah asks me that what have you bought, I will say that I have bought Ahmad Raza. Meaning that this was his level, this was his knowledge. And alhamdulillah, this is reflected today, the amount of, mashallah, masail that we learn from him, the books that are available, written by him, the kalams that are being read. If you look at many Nathans today, you know, as soon as they finish the hamd, like they go to mehfils, etc., as soon as they finish the hamd, the first kalam that they will recite is the kalam of Allah Hazrat. So this shows you his love for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So may Allah allow us to study his life, study his books, to increase our love for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen. MashaAllah. My dear viewers, now for our final segment, we will be blessed to listen to the kalam of Ala Hazrat. But what we will do, inshallah, today, we will ask our honorable guest as well to recite one couplet, one stanza, and inshallah, I will mention a few words and inshallah, the commentary about it. Thereafter, we'll move on to the next one, or we'll ask him to repeat that one again so we can listen to it again with the explanation, and inshallah, we can move, inshallah, swiftly throughout this beautiful poem. So, this beautiful kalam is the kalam which starts by the beautiful words, Kya hi zauk afza shafa'at hai tumhari wah wah. Karz leti hai gunah parhezgari wah wah. Here, Imam Ahl Sunnat, Ash-Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmah, is telling us a huge aspect of the deen, which we know on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the people will be in need of a savior, one who will save mankind from the horrors of the Day of Judgment. Now, that personality will be none other than our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. But here, Ala Hazrat, he says, Kya hi zauk afza, shafa'at hai tumhari wahwa. He's saying that how amazing. Wahwa is an expression of amazement at times. It comes in different meanings actually throughout this entire poem. And at the start, he's mentioning it as a praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that, oh beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how you can say tasteful and how amazing will your intercession be on the Day of Judgment? How will it be? Now he says the word dhawq afza, meaning how amazing, how pleasurable, you can say definitely, how pleasurable will the intercession of yours be, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How will it be that qarz leti hai gunah parhezgari wahwa, that the pious people, just to acquire your intercession, they will want to take a loan of sin from the sinners, from those people who have maybe a lot of sin. They will want to take a loan from them. Why? So that, Ya Rasulullah, they can be blessed with your intercession. Now this is the mindset of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat, and he's talking about the awliya-i kiram, the righteous people, that they will also be looking at that moment and those moments on Yawm al-Qiyamah where the sinful ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be saved. Some will be going through difficulty at the mizan, the scales, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will come and help them there. The recitation of Durood-e-Pak will come and help that person. That when he used to send Durood-e-Pak in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Durood-e-Pak has come and saved him. Thereafter, at Pul Sirat, the bridge of Sirat, there will be people who will about to be traversing the bridge, but they'll be worried. They will think they're going to fall, and there we will find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his du'a, Rabbi Sallim Sallim, oh Allah, allow my beloved ummati to traverse safely over the bridge of Sirat, to go across the bridge of Sirat swiftly without any type of worry. This is our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Let us hear the beautiful words of this kalam by Maulana Mubashir Atai.
Is
A very delicate point and a very beautiful point. I'll try to mention it as simple as possible. He's talking about the creation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he created his beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he created him perfect. He was flawless from head to toe. He is flawless from head to toe, that there is no defect in the physical appearance nor in the inner state of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is pure. He is purifying. He is the one who purifies others. He is our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. His physical state, when the Sahaba kiram would mention in the beautiful shama'il of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if anyone was to observe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at a distance, then he would be taken aback by the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he would sit near and when he would be close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he'd be in such a state where at times the noble companions could not keep their eyes upon the beautiful countenance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because of his awe-striking beauty. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has been created ba kamal. He has been created perfect. He's been created with no defect. And this is why the beautiful different poets throughout the ages have mentioned regarding the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. We have so many couplets, Malana. Tere to wasf ay be tanahi se hai bari, hera hu mere shah, main kya kya kahun tujhe.
Tere to wasf
Listen, to be honest, if I keep going, there's another kalam that comes into my mind where we just speak about the uniqueness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be misal, be misal. And Imam Hassanuthi says, lam ya'ti nadhiruka fi nadharin. In this beautiful kalam, Ala Hazrat uses four different languages in the praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If I'm Alana, so I know this kalam. Lam ya'ti nadhiruka fi
nadharin.
The second couplet of this beautiful poem, where Imam al-Sunnati just, you can say, indicates towards the flawless nature of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Allah Almighty created him, he created him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he created him unique. And this is why our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is that personality whose outward state was without any equal, and his inward state is also without any equal. The heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was absolutely pure. You can say there was never any defect or fault that unfortunately we find from many other people today. But our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was flawless both outwardly and inwardly. The third couplet and the next line, Imam al-Sunnat mentions, Main fida chand aur yun akhtar shumari wah wah. So here Imam al-Sunnat, Ashk shab bhar intizare afwe ummat mein bahein. Allahu Akbar. The selection of words is profound, my dear viewers of Madani Channel. Here, Imam al-Sunnati talks about, and again, I'm giving the overview. Today, it's difficult for many of us to go to sleep. Many people go through a stage where it's difficult for them to spend their night actually resting. People are awake in the night. For different reasons, many people, they have maybe tension, worry, or problems in their life, or the state that they're in, they're overthinking, or they're just constantly in a worried state. So they don't go sleep, right? But what was the state of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What kept him awake during the night? It wasn't no personal matter. It was the forgiveness of his ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was worried for his ummah, for the state of his ummah. Now today, do we even worry about our akhirah in that manner? In that, we will never be able to get to that manner, just bare minimum. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ashk shabhar. His eyes, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's eyes would be flowing with tears throughout the night. Why? Intizare afwe ummat me bahe. Meaning, because of waiting and awaiting the forgiveness of his ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spend the night in such a state where he would be supplicating to Allah Almighty, asking for our forgiveness, mine and yours. And today we don't have time to remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't have time to do the work of the deen. We don't have time to seek Islamic knowledge. We don't have time to be Muslims in the practical sense. So this is the sad reality. But Ala Hazrat is reminding us in his poetry, this is the state of our Aqa, our Prophet, our Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Ummati, we need to wake up as well. We need to change our state. Our nights are spent maybe in a wrong manner. But the nights of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were spent in crying for the state of his ummah, crying for the forgiveness of his ummah. Oh Ummatis, oh followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ala Hazrat, he then says that he gives an example, and this is, you know how they say when a person he can't sleep, he counts stars. Right, counting stars. This is just an expression metaphorically where a person who cannot sleep. He says, may I be sacrificed upon this prophetic state of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How amazing this is. How I am in awe of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his love for his ummah. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. This verse of the Quran is profound, where it tells us regarding our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the harm or the problems that will befall the ummah, they are a means of causing pain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as ummatis, we should feel this pain and try our best to live our life in such a way where when our deeds are presented before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they are, as mentioned in sound narrations, my dear viewers, in numerous books of ahadith, that our deeds are presented in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a weekly basis. Let us make an intention to protect ourselves from disobeying Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to instill happiness in the heart of our noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just on the topic of shafa'at, this reminds me of one stanza from Imam Busiri's famous kalam, which we all know and recite. Again, Imam Busiri alayhi rahmah, over hundreds of years ago, centuries ago, he mentioned this discussion. And even before him, the ulama of the past have all mentioned regarding the shafa'at of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, هُوَ الْحَبِيبُ الَّذِي تُرْجَى شَفَاعَتُهُ. He is the beloved, the one whose intercession is hoped for. لِكُلِّ هَوْلٍ مِّنَ الْأَهْوَالِ مُقْتَحِمِ. And he mentions that this is this intercession that we are hopeful for, from all types of, you can say, worry and sadness that we are in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify our states and allow us to be of those people who not only firmly believe in the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we also live our life in this way. This is the purpose that we commemorate the milad of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many people have weird feelings about this. This is a way to remind us regarding our state. We are from the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just like throughout our life, when a happy occasion comes, a joyous occasion comes, we decorate our homes. Everybody is wearing nice clothing, and our days and nights are spent in the obedience of Allah Almighty. For example, when somebody graduates, an Islamic graduate, or a person comes up from Hajj and Umrah, a person even has wedding, if you talk about it from a worldly perspective as well, and if you even talk about a Hifz graduation, or whatever it may be, we decorate ourselves, we decorate our homes. Similarly, at this gift, this great fadl of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's arrival into the earth, we should also be happy. We should also be joyous and celebrate this, because that was the day when the state of the ummah and the state of the world changed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed the whole world. So this is why, my dear viewers, we need to change our mentality, inshallah, and live our life in such a way where we are, inshallah, azza wa jalla, living our life as a Muslim and a true Muslim, not somebody who takes part some parts from the religion that they suit them and then leave those things which don't suit them. We should not be from them. We should enter into the deen of Islam wholeheartedly and completely. Jimal and Sab, any other beautiful couplets? You didn't recite this one in Tarz. If you want to have a try, inshallah.
Ashq shabar intizar afwe ummat me baghe Ashq shabar intizar afwe ummat me baghe shumhari wa gawa sadqe is inam ke qurban is ikram ke ho rahi hai dono alam main tumhari wa.
Now, there's so many couplets that we can discuss. This one is the second to last couplet where Imam al-Sunnah, he speaks regarding that this ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may I be sacrificed upon this gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was the arrival of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that it is because of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and rather, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that personality that when he came into the world, the heavens rejoiced. The angels and the creation of the heavens, they rejoiced at the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he came into the world, i.e. when Rasulullah was born in the dunya, we found the ulama mentioned the books of seerah as well as within the ahadith collection, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, the blessed mother. There are many different narrations which have been cited, where she mentions the noor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A noor came out of her and she was able to see the palaces of Sham, the palaces of Syria from where? From Makkatul Mukarramah, which are 1,000 miles away. It's so much distance away. This was the nooraniyat, the noor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not only this, there's also a narration which we have read in the books of Seerah, where the different animals, the quadruped, four-legged animals, the fish in the sea, all rejoiced on this occasion when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he graced the world with his noble presence. And here, the word vahva is also in the meaning of the actual, you can say the literal meaning of vahva, which is a meaning of praise, where you praise someone. And he is saying here, Imam al-Sunnah says, ho rahi hai dono alam mein, i.e. the dunya and in the akhirah. You can say in this world, and in the hereafter, ho rahi hai dono alam mein tumhari wah wah, meaning your praise, Ya Rasulullah, is being extolled in this dunya, in this current realm, and in the hereafter, it will also continue. Wa rafa'na laka dhikrak, O beloved, we have raised for your sake your remembrance. And this is why, walal akhiratu khayrun laka min al-ula, every coming moment will be better than the previously past moment. Every coming moment will be better than the past moment. This is why the state of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his maqam, his state in the court of Allah is always increasing as well. It's a beautiful sentence, actually a couplet. I would like Maulana Sahib to recite this one as well. Imam al-Sunnat, he indicates towards a hadith epoch. And inshallah we're going to explain that. But first we listen to the kalam. It's the fourth shared. Ungliyan hain faiz par, toote hai pyaase jhoom kar, nadiya panjab rehmat ki hai jari wah wah.
Ungliyan hai faiz par, toote hai pyaase jhoom kar, ungliyan hai faiz par, toote hai pyaase.
You are already in a state of love and admiration. Imam Ahl Sunnah here, he mentions and he's indicating towards the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when the Prophet ﷺ went to deal with the matter of Hudaybiyah, this area and this land for the Muslims. Unfortunately, there was an incident that happened from the disbelievers. And Rasulullah ﷺ, in that particular occasion, he realized that the water had become scarce amongst the Sahaba Kiram. There were over 1,000 companions of the Prophet ﷺ at that time at the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And when the companions came and they actually asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have run low on water. And look at the aqeedah, my dear viewers, let's not go over this point. Look at the belief of the companions. And when they have a shortage of water, who do they go to? They go directly to the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they know everything is distributed from this blessed court, all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ إِنَّمَا أَنَا قَاسِمٌ وَاللَّهُ يُعْتِي. And here Allah Almighty and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us very beautifully that the blessings of Allah are given by Allah Almighty and they are distributed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Sahaba Kiram had this belief that when we need even water, we will go to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, what they could have done was done dua. Like many people today, they say, just do dua, ask Allah directly. The Sahaba Kiram state is such that they understand Aqeedah better than anybody in the modern era and anybody to come. The Sahaba Kiram are the most profound in the Tawheed. And their belief is whatever they are given it because of the blessing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us continue. Imam al-Sunnah tells us that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the books of history and seerah, they mention the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba Kiram to bring your water containers, the water skins that they had, and to place them all into this bowl. When they put the water from all of their different water skins, remember over 1,000 of Sahaba, and it wasn't even enough water that even the fingers could be just wet by them. There's very little and scarce of water. And what happened was the Sahaba Kiram all present there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam places his own blessed hand into that bowl, into that container. And before the very eyes of the Sahaba Kiram, they witness, they see that water is flowing from between the fingers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was that water which not only quenched their thirst, but their animals, those who needed to perform ghusl, they kept on collecting the water, and water never stopped. They had water for their own wudu, for those who wanted to perform ghusl, for their animals, they quenched their own thirst. Thousands of Sahaba Kiram, and the water was not in any shortage whatsoever. This was the miracle of the blessed hand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Water comes from the ground. Zameen se to nikalta raha hai paani magar ye ungliyon se bahana huzur jaan de.
Profound, beautiful point, and very relevant couplet to our discussion, because water doesn't naturally flow from the fingers. We know there's water within our system, but have you ever seen any water flowing from the hands? No, water flows, it comes from the ground. And even now, the Quran told us over centuries ago that water even comes from rocks. But even now, modern science has found out that water also comes out of rocks. And this is understandable, like mentioned in the couplet there. But for the waters to flow from the blessed hands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was his profound miracle. This was his unique quality. And also the scholars of Islam mentioned, like many viewers of Madani Channel are also probably thinking as well, and they know, because they've heard this discussion many a times, the most superior water in all of the waters is the water that came from the blessed hand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even greater than Zamzam. Remember, what is the blessed water of Zamzam? From the heel, due to, it came from the ground, from the rubbing of the heel of the Prophet of Allah, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, as a young child. Now, subhanAllah, look at the water source of this Zamzam Pani, alhamdulillah, how pure it is. Again, even people today, scientists, etc., and people who research, they find the purity of Zamzam water. And people try their best to acquire some and keep it within their home when they travel to the sacred land. This is the purity of Zamzam water. But think about the qismat, my dear viewers. Think about the qadr, the destiny, and the good fortune of those companions who drank the water that came from the blessed hands of the Prophet ﷺ. And look at the qismat and the virtue, you can say, the good destiny, the fortune of those animals that also quenched their thirst from that sacred water. This is why, my dear viewers, Imam Ahl-Sunnah's love for the Prophet ﷺ is not just something which comes from within. It's not just passion, but rather it's completely in accordance with the teachings of the Quran and the Hadith. And this is what we learn, and unfortunately today, we need to learn, we need to have more of these discussions, inshallah. More of these topics and more of these poems of Ala Hazrat should be discussed. But unfortunately, as we know, time is of the essence, and we are now reaching the end of our program. Just the final couplet of Imam al-Sunnat in this particular kalam, what does he mention? He mentions a very beautiful point. He says, Paraye dil, bhina nikla dil se, tuhfe me raza. Un sagane ku se itni jaan pyari wah wah. We will listen to it, inshallah, and then I will mention a few points. Allah Hazrat, to be honest, Imam al-Sunnat is that personality that every couplet that you go into, you think, that was amazing. Like the one just about the ungliya, Zawq of Zaw, and how, subhanAllah, Imam al-Sunnat's word selection, this is why, my dear viewers, when we discuss Allah Hazrat, we always are left baffled. We're just amazed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted near our time such a great personality whose love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so profound. Now look at what he says here in the final, in his maqta. He says, para-e-dil. Para-e-dil means a piece of your heart. Para, a piece of, dil means your heart. Bhi na nikla. It couldn't be taken out. Dil se tuhfe me raza. Allah Hazrat is saying, you know when you give something to someone, if I give something to our Maulana Mubashir, sometimes if I want something for myself, I won't give it to others. Okay? And if I do give it to them, then I give it unwillingly. I don't give it from my heart. I don't give it genuinely. I just give it so that he becomes quiet. Not Mubashir, but just generally, when we give it to youngsters, etc. Now the point here, Allah Hazrat, he uses the word dil, but in two different ways, and it's so beautiful. He says, O Raza, you call yourself a devotee of the Prophet ﷺ. You call yourself a true ashik, but you couldn't even give a piece of your heart wholeheartedly, willingly, to the dogs of Medina. To the dogs of Medina. Un sagane, sagan, sag means dog, and then sagane is the plural. To those dogs of Medina, ku se itni jaan pyari, wah wah. Meaning he says, you love your own self, your own life, you desire your own, you to live more over your love for looking after the dogs of Medina. This is why Imam al-Sunnat, my dear viewers, his love is so profound. This is what we need to learn from. Today, those people who have something against Ala Hazrat, it's because they've never read his works. When you read his works, when you understand what he is trying to say, where he is coming from, and the mindset where he's coming from, you will understand that there was nobody like Ala Hazrat in his time. He is such a profound personality that his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it emits his humility as well. Look at the humbleness. He even is questioning his own love. Now today, if somebody was to say Ala Hazrat was not an ashik of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people would think that the person who said that has gone insane, because they know Ala Hazrat, that is what he was. He was known for his love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Now, for this aspect, Allah Hazrat showed his humility. This was his humbleness in the court of Allah Almighty and in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is what we also need to reflect. Even though his words were so profound, his poetry was, you can say, matchless and unique. The way he considered himself was always like, I'm not worthy of this. I'm worthless. I'm a faqir. Even in his letters and his his fatawa, the wording of faqir was be used like a poor person. But look at Ala Hazrat, he is just a example for us. And in today's time, this is why we need Ala Hazrat with us. And I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us in this beautiful environment of Da'at Islami, that we increase our love for our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we strengthen our iman via this love that we have for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we learn from the court of Ala Hazrat. And this is all done by the blessings of Da'at Islami, alhamdulillah, by Bani Da'at Islami, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliya, Amir Ahl Sunnat, who taught us who Ala Hazrat is. His first book that he ever authored was regarding the biography of Ala Hazrat. My dear viewers, if you want a message from today's program, it is to study the life of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat, to read about him, read his poetry, spread his poetry, learn his poetry, and also teach this to your family. Tell them, if you are able to, and attend lectures of ulama who deliver talks on this topic. Ala Hazrat is somebody who we will always need. He is somebody who is going to protect our iman, especially in the coming eras and the coming time to come. We need such a personality who teaches us the creed of the Ahl Sunnah, the correct beliefs about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the correct beliefs about our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the true belief and aqeedah, and for the honor of the Sahaba ikiram and the Ahl Bayt Athhar, and for all of the awliya ikiram and the righteous pious predecessors. So my dear viewers, stay attached to Da'at Islami. This is the easiest way that we can protect our iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every one of you. Until our next program, inshallah, with another topic, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
It breaks the dark, it clears the way, guiding souls both night and day. It breaks the dark, it clears the way, guiding souls both night and day. Light of knowledge, light of knowledge.